Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When you see these things come to pass, know that God is with you and do as the occasion demands. What do I do then? Well, just wait on God. Do as the occasion demands, and you'll know what to do.
We've all been given a call, a race to run. We've also been given a promise that God will never leave us and will give us everything we need to succeed. So what goes wrong? We get tired. We get discouraged. We give place to the enemy and his lies. Be encouraged today. Get up and get busy for God's kingdom. He will provide everything you need. Here's more from 1 Samuel 10, 1 through 27, with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Saul didn't say, "I'm chosen to be king. I'm the best choice there ever was. Just look at me." Saul wasn't ambitious, and that's good. But Saul also hesitated greatly to step out when God called him, and that's bad. It's good when we say, "Lord, you do what you're going to do. You lift up whoever you want to lift up. You do the work of the gospel, and I'll support them." So he's hesitant, but God gives him all of these reassurances. And so Saul needed it. But in these, God teaches him a lesson in each one of them. First of all, that God was going to take care of his business. Listen, if you begin to do whatever it is God calls you to do, we have had a couple here at the church who believed after they retired, especially the gal, that God wanted her to start a ministry in Africa of all places. A great work. A work that is beyond any of our. How do you start a ministry in Africa? Her husband Willis since went to be with the Lord, but Ila Wee began to minister to these women, and God has done a great work there. You might think, well, how are we going to take care of things if I'm going to Africa? But God takes care of your business. You think that you're going to be about God's business and God isn't going to take care of your business? How much better to be about the kingdom and God's righteousness? And you might think, as a retired individual, God won't use me. You have no idea. You have no idea. Abraham was 75 years old when God called him. That might hit somebody right on the nose here today. You may be 75 years old going, "Don't talk like that. I'm in the comfortable time of life." Maybe not. Maybe now God wants to use you. The second thing that we see here is, after being told his donkeys were going to be okay, then you shall go on forward, and from there come to the terebinth tree of Tabor, and three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you. One carrying three goats, young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. Can you imagine what Saul must have thought when he got to the terebinth tree there, and all of a sudden here comes, that guy has three goats, and that guy has three loaves of bread, and that guy's got a skin of wine, just like Samuel said. It's like God is going out of his way to show him, "I am calling you to do this. And they will greet you, and they will give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands." This is not only a sign that God will take care of your business if you surrender yourself to him, but that God is going to give you the provisions for what you need. Pastor Chuck Smith, who founded Calvary Chapel, had a few little quips that he would say. One of them, Calvary Chapel ended up with 1,500 Calvary Chapels across the United States. It started from him, and he would say to us pastors, "Blessed are the flexible, for they will not be broken." That we should be flexible in what God wants. When we get too rigid, God will either move on and use someone else, and we will not be used by him anymore. So we ought to be flexible in the direction that God wants to take us. Another thing that Pastor Chuck would say is, where God guides, God provides. And when you go out to do what God wants you to do, the provisions will be there. The two loaves of bread will be there. God was showing Saul, you might not have the provisions to be king, but I will give you what you need. I will take care of those provisions, and God will take care of you as well if you are obedient to the call that God has on your life. He goes on to say, and you will, verse 5, after that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. What a strange thing. The hill of God and the Philistines are there. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instruments and tambourines and a flute and a harp. before them, and they will be prophesying. You're going to get to the hill of God, and the Philistine garrison's going to be there. There's going to be a bunch of hippie prophets, guitars and tambourines, prophesying. That's a strange thing to see. Thinking of that ancient Israel, coming down the road, singing and happy. I just can't get out of my mind the Jesus movement and how many hippies committed their lives to Christ, began to attend church with their bare feet and vests, no shirt on underneath, terrifying regular churchgoers that God could be moving in the lives of these guys that need haircuts. And then it says that you will meet this group of prophets coming down from the city in the high place with stringed instruments. And then the Spirit, verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Who would ever think that Saul, the donkey searcher, would suddenly dance around with these prophets and begin to prophesy? A man who didn't even really know who Samuel was, who wasn't even really concerned about the things of God, would all of a sudden now be prophesying with prophets. He says, and let it be that when these signs come to pass, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. He's still encouraging. He says, when you see all of these things, you do as the occasion demands, because God is with you. And for you who have a call upon your life, a race to run, an appointment by God, God is with you. Jesus said, and lo, I am with you even until the end of the age. We have been given a promise that we will succeed as the church. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I've given you the keys to the kingdom. When you see these things come to pass, know that God is with you, and do as the occasion demands. What do I do then? Well, just wait on God. Do as the occasion demands, and you'll know what to do. Many years ago, we began to pray about a radio station. We made a few moves to be able to try to secure that radio station, but some 20 years passed until finally the opportunity arised, and we did what the occasion demanded. We couldn't make it happen. All we could do is seek God and ask Him, begin to see if we could head down that road, and when the occasion arrived, we did what it demanded. God did a work. It wasn't because we pursued it heavily. We pursued it, but not heavily. It was because God began to do it. The same is true with each one of us here. God will begin to bring the things into place. Do as the occasion demands. Step forward. Make yourself available to God. It goes on to say here then, verse 8, you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you and offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices and peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you shall do. He has a grand coronation in mind for the king. He wants to bring all of the people together at Mizpah. He wants to call forward the tribe of Benjamin. He wants to call forward the family of Saul. And he wants to call out Saul. And out will walk this tall, dark, handsome young man. And he will say, behold, your king. So it was when he had turned back, now this is what happens to Saul, to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart, and all of the signs came to pass that day. He turned away from Samuel, and God gave him another heart. Again, tell me that God isn't doing everything he can do to help him succeed. God's doing beyond that, just as God gives us a new heart when we surrender our lives to Christ. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, everything becomes new. We are new men, we are new women, and so was Saul. So much so that it shocked people. Verse 10, when they came to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. There the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets? When they saw Saul dancing with those hippies, they're like, what's going on? This is not Saul. Something's happening. Is he among the prophets as well? The answer is yes. Saul is a prophet every much as bit as Isaiah is a prophet, or Hezekiah, or Amos, or any of the other prophets. Then the men answered and said, but who is their father? Not quite sure what that means. Therefore, it is a proverb, is Saul among the prophets? That became a question because of the awfulness of Saul in his later years. How could a prophet become so awful? How could a man with such great advantages become so horrible? And when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. And Saul's uncle said to him, and his servants, where did you go? So he said, to look for the donkeys. When we saw that they were nowhere, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, please, what Samuel said to you. And Saul said to his uncle, he told us plainly that the donkeys had been found. But about the matter of the kingdom, he did not tell him what Samuel had said. Now, I don't know whether that's a good or a bad thing. His uncle asked him, what happened to you? We're looking for the donkey. We didn't find him, we went to Samuel. What'd Samuel say? Told us the donkeys had been found. He had just danced among prophets. He had just seen God give him a new heart. He had just seen God's miraculous life, and now he talks in a matter-of-fact way about donkeys. Maybe it's good because he's not selfishly ambitious. Maybe it's bad. If my uncle said, where'd you go and what'd you do? I would not say anything about the donkeys. I'd be like, you wouldn't believe it. I'm going to be the king of Israel. And God showed me in these ways. I don't know whether that's good or bad that I would do that. But I got to think it's strange that he doesn't say anything to his uncle about the kingdom. So Samuel now gets ready for the coronation. Verse 17. So Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah and said to the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of the kingdoms and from those who oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all of your adversities and your tribulations, and have said to him, now set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. And when Samuel had caused all of the tribes of Israel to come near, then he chose Benjamin. Or Benjamin was chosen. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near, he called the family of Matri, close enough, was chosen. And Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. And when they sought him, he could not be found. The ceremony didn't go the way that Samuel wanted it. You guys ever have a ceremony not go the way you want it? I've done my share of weddings. I don't do many anymore, but I've done my share. And I can tell you many times they don't go the way that the bride wants them to go. Sometimes one of the mothers doesn't show up for the wedding. Can I speak to the mothers and mother-in-laws that are here today that have a wedding coming up? Be there early. What does it say when you show up a half hour later? I'm the kind of guy, I want everything to start on time. I've been that way from the beginning. I want our services to start right when they're supposed to start. I want a wedding to start when it's supposed to start. We're at a wedding and one of the mothers doesn't show up. I think it was the mother of the bride. And I'm like, it's 10 o'clock. Says it's going to start at 10. Giddy up. Let's get this thing going. And my wedding coordinator said, you can't start the wedding without the mother of the bride being here. And I said, why not? She's not getting married. She'll be just as married when it's done. But they were right. We couldn't start the wedding without the mother being there. She showed up a half hour late. People show up to weddings early. People had been sitting there for half an hour. They're looking at their watch. When we finally walked up, people had their arms crossed, were looking at me. Stupid pastor, start things so late. I want to say, it's not me, it's the mother. She's right there. She didn't get here till then. I had a wedding where the rings were fumbled, and it went underneath a kneeler at a Methodist church. And I looked at the groom, I looked at the bride, I looked at the best man, I looked out in the crowd, no one was going to get the ring. So I went around and got the ring. Got down on my hands and knees and I looked under, I reached under and got the ring and went back up and dusted my knees off and went on with the wedding. We had an outdoor wedding at Tanca Verde Ranch in June at 2 p.m. And I'm sorry if you've done something like that, but what possesses you to do that to people? The bride's got her dress on, the groom, and all of a sudden, she just glasses over. We barely catch her. She's red. She's hot. She looks like she's in trouble. Looks like she's in some kind of a medical crisis. And I say, what do you want us to do? She goes, I want to get married. So we propped her up, put her on a chair and married her off. It was like, you got married. You can't get married in June. Do it indoors. Do it in the evening. I had a lot of other suggestions for you, but I'll leave it at that. They look for Saul. They can't find him. And now Saul's nowhere around. Verse 22, therefore they inquired of the Lord further, has the man come here yet? And the Lord answered, there he is, hidden among the equipment. Can you imagine? Saul's hidden among the equipment. What's he? He's looking around there. Saul, at the Benjamins, found the kid. He's hiding among the equipment. After all the things that God showed him. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I lean towards bad. If God has a call on your life, if God wants you to do something, if God wants you to speak in front of people, they say that one of the greatest fears people have over death is public speaking. That if I were to call you to come up here now and share, you'd say, nope, just let me die. Just kill me first. Kill me before I go up there. If God has a call, are you hiding among the equipment? Is it possible now that God wants a tide to rise in your life? God wants to use you, but you're hiding among the equipment. You're just unwilling to do it. You're unwilling to finish that great call that God's given you. I wonder, in the many years that we've had the church here, I've seen God use people in surprising ways. I've seen God raise up surprising individuals to do work that we would have never have thought would have been done. And I got to think that God's got some here today, if not all of us, to make sure we're running the race God's given us. We're not hiding among the equipment. That's a good title for this message. I wish I would have thought about that. Maybe we'll change it. Hiding among the equipment. So they ran and they brought him from there, and he stood among the people, and he was taller than any other people from the shoulders upward. And Samuel said to the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? Notice that God chose him. God gave him every advantage. God had chosen him. Saul could have succeeded. He should have succeeded. He had it all. And there is no one like him among the people. So all of the people shouted and said, long live the king, long live the king. They had their king like all the other nations. And Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty. Maybe he quoted Deuteronomy, which said, when you have a king, this is what they won't do. Or maybe he quoted from earlier, the king's going to take. He's going to do his things. It says, and he wrote the book and he laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all of the people away, every man to his house. And Saul went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. God raised up men and touched their hearts to go with him. You weren't on your own. As God's laid something on your heart, God's going to raise up men and women to go with you to do the work. When we came out to Tucson, we ended up bringing people with us from Albuquerque. People moved out here beforehand that we met up with. We did nothing alone. There's always a team. I love as we're sending one of our pastors out to Austin to begin a church, Nick Weiss, Fervent Church. There's a group of about 10 people going with him now, and others that are supporting them, men whose hearts God's touched. That's such a good thing. None of us do the work of God alone. Because God knows that we aren't to bear the weight alone. We couldn't do it. I could not bear the weight of God's call upon my life alone. And neither could the men that bear it with me. Neither could they bear the call of the weight of God upon their lives alone. We bear one another's burdens. We stand together shoulder to shoulder and bear the weight that God has given us, because God does it that way. None of us ride a horse named Silver and wear a mask, ride around in some weird silvery white outfit. But we have a group of people that God puts together as a team. But also look at this. But some rebel said, how can this man save us? You have the King James Bible in front of you? It says, some worthless men, some rebels, said, this man can't save us. So they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. In anything that you step out to do, anything, there will be your dissenters. There will be people who say you can't do it. There will be people who say you shouldn't do it. There will be people that will tell you why it can't be done. I can tell you that at every step in everything we have ever done, there have been dissenters. And there are dissenters for a reason. I think because we need them. I think if we didn't have dissenters, if we didn't have people that were problems, we would probably have our heads be so big we couldn't fit through doors. But God reminds us that not everybody thinks that we're something great. God reminds us that there are people who despise us. And that's true with anyone whose tide begins to rise. If there is any kind of a promotion, if you're in a company and you are promoted, people are jealous and they begin to hate you. If you're in the police department and you are promoted, there's jealousy. If you're in the fire department and you are promoted, there's jealousy. If you are in any form of life and you are beginning to be promoted, there are people who will make that promotion hard and difficult, and maybe because we need it. But also, I love that Saul didn't do anything. There would come a time in Saul's life where he would have. There will come a time when Saul would have taken care of these guys, but not now. And that's the best way to handle it. I like to tell young pastors, don't ever preach to a problem person from the pulpit. There's a problem in this church and he's sitting in the second row. I've heard it done, but it's always a mistake. Let God be your defender. I'm late. Stand with me, would you? I got to get to the other campus. Now listen, I'm going to say this as a final little statement because I think that this is such a powerful thing that God has been telling us here today. Some of you guys are called, some of you guys are chosen, and you're doing what God's called you to do, and this is an encouragement to you. Some of you guys are hiding among the equipment, and it's time to see what God will do. It's time for us to be surprised. Is this the son of Kish? Is he also a prophet? It's time for, look at what God's doing with them. As God puts his hand firmly upon you and begins to use you. Father, thank you for this direction and for this encouragement. And Lord, we thank you that you've called us, you've appointed us, and you've given us a race to run, and we want to run it effectively. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself this week closer to Jesus than you've ever been before. May you love him more. May you cultivate that relationship with him. May God reveal to you the call, the plan, the purpose. May you receive it.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.